In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cybercriminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
Okay. Welcome back to the channel. Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy. We are live. We are blessed. Thank God for another day. Happy Monday, as per usual. Happy Monday. We're going to talk some good things, man. December 8th is break. Christmas is around the corner. So I say, you know what? The New Year's approaching, and we have a lot going on in the real estate mortgage world. So today is going to be a great conversation. I'm bringing on one of my guys, man. I love collaborating with this brother. He's one of the most brilliant minds that you would meet in this mortgage space. I mean, this brother has been rocking and rolling for years. And I always tell you guys, man, quick story of how I found out about my guy, Nick. I tell you guys, 2017, I started really trying to figure out social media and, you know, lead generation and just using everything that I'm doing today to my advantage. And back in 2017, there was really no loan officers that was out there doing what I'm doing at a very high level, but one, right? I used to search for the MG, the Mortgage Guy of back then, and I could not find MG, the Mortgage Guy, but I did find a brother who went by the Mortgage Gladiator, right? And my guy was the first loan officer that I saw on the internet that was not corny. Right. That was not out here just, hey, I got low rates and I can close fast. And, you know, all the typical sales stuff. He was actually educating and breaking things down and showing scenarios and just giving good information. And I said, man, this brother is dope. We locked in with each other a couple years ago, and I've been fortunate to be able to have him on a couple of my different platforms over the years. So today is no different. I wanted to bring in my guy because we got a lot to talk about, man. So I figured, why not bring in my guy, Mr. Nick Goucher. Nick, how are you today, brother?
Matt, when I'm talking to you, brother, I'm blessed.
How are you, man? You know, I woke up this morning. God is good, brother. God is good.
That's all we need.
So look, man, real quick, introduce yourself for the people who might not know who you are, bro.
Sure. My name is Nick Goucher. I'm here in LA, California. 20 years in the mortgage banking business. When Matt and I tapped in back in 2017, Matt, I was fully in production. I was a three-time top 1% mortgage banker in America. So in that time, putting up $50 million, 85. Best year was 2019 at $108 million in production with
a lot of production.
It is. And so that moved me from a producer to a leader. I then became an RVP for a company called Legacy Home Loans. Legacy Home Loans was founded by my mentor, a man named Ben Slayton. Ben's now 82, Matt. Ben was the first black, Matt, hear me out, my brother.
82.
First black realtor in America in 1964.
Mm.
Ben Slayton. So 2018, he founds a company called Legacy Home Loans, and he wants to build the most trusted mortgage company in America, and he wants his sidekick. So he taps in with a young version of me. I was maybe 34 at that time, about 7 years ago. And I became the RVP, then I became the head of retail lending, and I became the bank president. We took one office in Culver City, California, Matt, a Regis location. We're at a Regis. We had four people on the team. Within 5 years, we had 27 locations across the country.
Wow.
And at the height of our business, we were at about $500 million in production annualized. So we built a great company, all about impact, all about service, and all about trust. And so I've been doing this for 20 years, and I love what I do.
Man, shout out to my man, Ben Slayton. He's a original OG in his business, man.
Super OG, that's right.
So shout out to the super OG for sure. So let's get into this, man. You know what you're talking about. You just gave through the stats. You originating from building companies. I want to touch kind of all your experiences today. Sure. But let's touch on the first thing that's pressing is refinancing. Everyone is looking to refinance. People are hitting me up left and right about refinancing. Me personally, Nick, I think it is a good opportunity if the numbers make both sense and sense. But I do caution people to not jump on the bandwagon too quick, because if you refinance prematurely, you could kick yourself if rates continue to drop lower, and then you might want to refinance again. What is your thoughts on refinancing in today's market where rates are currently?
Good question. So one, my thought process is always the same, and that is, okay, what's the opportunity? Okay, and does it make sense? So right now, Americans who own homes have $35 trillion of equity in their property. But most Americans have no money in the bank. If you go 1945 to 2022, the average American saved about 9% of their money in savings. Matt, now it's 3 to 4%. It's the second lowest amount of money people have liquid since, it's the second lowest time since 05. So besides the 05, 06 Great Recession, the second worst time in 40 years, people have no money, no cash. So right now the market is illiquid. That's the problem. So you got people who have anxiety over their income because most people live paycheck to paycheck. So you can't really touch your wealth because it's locked into your asset to the home. Mm-hmm. So the question comes down to, what's the opportunity? So if you have money on paper, but you are concerned about your day-to-day next 3 to 6 months, you're asking yourself, how do I tap into that uncertainty to reduce that stress, to put my money aside as working capital? That's what people are thinking about, number one. Number two, American household debt is now at $18 trillion of household debt. So again, if, let's say my name, Matt, I'm Nick. I make 80 grand a year, 100 grand per year. I got a few hundred grand in equity in my property. I'm under invested in my retirement account. I got 1 month of reserves put aside in cash in my checking account, and I'm uncertain about my job day to day. Okay. In October, we had 1 million people lose their job in October, the highest number since COVID. So it's a 5-year high. People lost their jobs in October. The uncertainty makes people want to reduce that uncertainty for a solution. A refinance could become that. And so it's not about the rate, it's about the opportunity. Right now, most people might be sitting, Matt, in your case, many Americans might have a rate below 4%, but they're paying 28% on that credit card, right? And so their household interest rate might be 8%. If you wrap all that together, rates could be 6%. And so a refinance could...
Hold on. Let me slow you down right there, because I want to make sure nobody loses you, because the data that you're giving right now is supreme right now, right? Because you said something that's key. Most people right now who are watching this, who own homes, they probably have sub 4%.
That's right.
And they're stuck. They feel like they can't do anything with that. But the other debt, credit cards, auto loans, all of that could be anywhere between 8 and 28%, right? So you said, what was the average? 8%, 8.5% of household debt?
Correct.
That's great. 8.5%.
That's right. And so in that model, I tell clients all of the time, and even my team, nobody writes a check on rate. It's on payment. We write the payment, not the interest rate. And so if you are paying, say, $4,000 between mortgage and your other non-mortgage debt, and you could refinance that debt into $2,500 a month, you just saved 18 grand a year. Your cash flow is now 20 grand because of that refinance. And so we don't spend much time talking so much about rate opportunity. It's about cash flow opportunity. And I think a refinance in the right situation could make sense. Now, your point, you're right. Not everybody. Some people, that's not their story. So it might make sense to wait it out and see if it gets better. But I would say 70% of the clients now who we refinance, the refi is more of a strategy to improve cash flow, to become more liquid, and to re-up other investments. And they're kind of unlocking the harness of that capital to deploy people to build more wealth. And so we teach people how to really leverage the equity to build more wealth, not just to drop the interest rate.
So someone watching this right now, right? They got the 4%, sub 4% on the mortgage. What are some of the things that, what will make them the correct candidate right now to refinance, right? Like, what should they be looking at their profile and saying, shit, maybe I do fit the description of someone who needs to refinance right now?
Good question. So one, I would say, let's do it. Number one, let's do a quick cash flow analysis. Okay. You make 10 grand a month gross after taxes, 30%. So you might live off of $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
How much cash do you have left over after all your bills are paid? That's number one off the rip, because you probably have, body makes seven. Now, after you pay your mortgage, your credit card debt, your child care costs, your groceries, your utilities, you probably have, if you have 5% of savings, you probably could say $350 a month. You have a cash flow of $350. That's pretty low. So yeah. That's number one. How much cash flow do you have after you've paid all the bills? Number two is, if you lost your job, how liquid are you and how far can you go? So if you're in a marketplace right now where you have the highest unemployment in the last 5 years since COVID, people losing their jobs, and it's true that 70% of people are living paycheck to paycheck, and it takes somebody about 3 months to find a new job if you lost a job, right? Then how liquid are you and how far can you go if you run into a disruption in the income? Those are the first two questions. If those two questions are not high confidence answers, we should consider leveraging the equity in the property to remove that barrier of uncertainty. I think those two. I think number three is, you sit down with a team like us, somebody like yourself, let's look at two, how much are you paying on those interest rates? Because if you got high credit card debt, what most Americans do, paying 20%, you're seeing that rate and like, damn, that 4% looks attractive. But you know what doesn't? 25% on credit card rates.
Mm-hmm.
That's paying down nothing on the principal. And so if, again, your household interest rate is 8%, then a 5.5% or 6% don't look that bad. And so you have to see the bigger picture in your household, not just the mortgage payment that you're paying per month. I think those three are good indications if a refi is the right time for you.
Yeah, man. I like how you said do a cash flow analysis, right? Everybody type in chat cash flow analysis. I think that's extremely important, right? We use this in business every single day. We're looking to see, you know, are we really profitable or not, right? What's our bottom line? Running your house should be treated as a business, right? You should have a P&L. And it's so easy to create these things. What's that? QuickBooks, you know, quick, easy. You can connect QuickBooks to any of your bank accounts, your credit cards, and it'll categorize everything that you're doing, right? You can even probably put in the credit card rates and everything that you have. And right then and there, just by using QuickBooks and creating this cash flow analysis, you can look back your whole, we in December right now, y'all. We got a plan, you know, 7 P's, man. Proper prior planning prevents piss poor performance at the end of the day. So this is a timely conversation, man. And I think that cash flow analysis is huge, Nick, using QuickBooks, y'all. So I want everybody, if you don't use QuickBooks or any app that's kind of sort of similar, if you're using any type of software out there, guys, type in the chat. Let's help out the community today. To be able to create this cash flow analysis. QuickBooks is one that I personally use for personal and business. You guys can type what you're using in the chat. I know there was Mint back in the days as well. Mint was an app. I'm not sure if that's still around. right now, but I want you guys to type in chat what you might be using to kind of managing your finances and doing this cash flow analysis, because I think, Nick, you hit it right on the head right there. How much money do you have left over to save? And most people are not able to save. And if you look at the overall opportunity of what a refinance could really do for your life, the interest rate, it matters, but it shouldn't matter. Right. What matters is, are you able to survive? Are you able to get to the next month? Are you able to do things with your loved ones and your family? Do for yourself. Right. Because just working to pay bills, that shit is not fun. There's nothing good about that to me. Me personally, I'd rather go rent and not own nothing and have cash flow and be able to live versus being handcuffed by a mortgage. Right. Somebody said they use a good old pen and pad. Is what I
do. Hey, that works too, man.
Yeah. whatever it is that you use, right? It could be spreadsheets, it could be technology. You know, all of these things are available to you. Number two, I like what you said. How liquid are you? Right. That's extremely important, right? You can take equity out of the home to now boost up your reserves. You can put that into a high interest account. You don't have to just put it into a regular savings. Put it into a high interest account. You could probably earn somewhere around 4%. That way you have some sort of reserves building for yourself, because a lot of people, if anything happens, you don't have a couple months worth of your bills. You should have at least, at a very minimum, 3 months. I go by 6 months, because 3 months, like you said, what was the stat again about? It takes what, 3 months for someone to find a new job?
That's right. 90 days.
Yeah. So you need at least 3 months, but 6 months should be the new 3 months, right? At the end of the day. And if you can go to a full 12 months,
even better,
right? But that's what that equity is there for. One thing I like to say about equity, Nick, I like to say equity is monopoly money, right? It's unrealized gains. It doesn't mean nothing unless you use it, right? And with people having record-breaking amount of equity in their homes, what are like a couple ways, Nick, that they can tap into this equity?
Yeah, there's it's really two primary ways. And to your point, I really love that. I just wrote that down. The concept, because it is true, the unrealized gain. It looks good on paper. You know, you get that email every month that tells you what your property's worth. So that feels good, but it doesn't put money or food on the table, which is critical. Really, it's two primary ways. There's now a third way that's coming down. One is a standard refinance, where you take your existing loan, place it with a new loan, and that difference is your cash. So pay off the previous debt, and you have cash for the actual new debt. So you have a straightened term refinance. Number two, you do a home equity line of credit, where you basically can take a credit card, essentially use that equity as a credit card. And so if you have a first mortgage, let's say $500,000, you have a home worth $750,000. You take $100,000 as a line of credit, and you can use it as a revolving credit card. So you can use that to pay off debt, consolidate. If somebody has a rate at 4%, and they say, Nick, I don't want to touch that because I'm already 12 years into it or 8 years into it. I don't want to re-amortize it back to 30 and then get into 12 more years at the new interest rate. A line of credit could be a good option. You keep that first loan the same, take out that secondary loan. The rate might be 7%, 8%, depending on your credit score and your loan to value or your combined CLTV. Mm-hmm. And you could use that line of credit to then pay off other debt and then to become liquid. Mm-hmm. Those two are primary. There's now a new product that you see now called a home equity agreement. APA, right?
Break that down.
Yeah, so this is a product where there's a new company. There's about seven of them now across the country, where it's not based on FICO score. It's not based on your debt-to-income ratio. It's based on how much equity you have in your property. So, Matt, I might come to you, and you offer one of these products, and you might say, okay, the house is worth $1,000,000. You owe $500,000. You had $500,000 of equity in that property. I'm going to give you a loan for $100,000. I'm going to defer the payment until you sell or refinance. So I'm going to defer the amount you owe me plus interest. There's no monthly payments. on this property. There's no number on the actual debt. But when you refinance it or when you sell it within 10 years, you pay back that loan plus interest. So they basically own a piece of your equity, what they do. That's what it's called, a home equity agreement.
Hold on. This is called a home equity agreement.
Correct. That's right.
A home equity agreement. So basically, they're acting like a reverse mortgage.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
It's a reverse mortgage, but for the everyday folk, where they take out a second lien on your property. You could get your capital, your 100K, whatever it is. But whatever that monthly interest payment is supposed to be, it gets tacked on to your loan. So let's just say for easy numbers, you take out 100K and you're supposed to pay $1,000 a month in interest. Now, every single month, your balance goes up by $1,000.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's capped at 10 years?
It's about that time frame. It's about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it might, but here's the thing though. They also get the future value as well. So if the house is worth, let's say, $1 million, in 10 years, the house is worth $1.3 million. If I give you that loan for $100,000, what I'm really buying is your future equity. Okay? So I'm going to own 10%, let's say, of your equity. So you, in 10 years, you pay me back my $100,000. Plus, if the house was now worth $1.3 million, you owe me that 10%, which is $130,000. So you pay me back what you owe, plus I own a stake of your equity. So really what they're buying is the equity in your property. That's what they're paying for. That's what they're buying. So what you see there are individuals who you might have lost a job. Your income is too complex. Your credit score is in the dumpsters. Your debt to income ratios are too high, but you have equity in your property. There's a way for them to use he's giving you the actual money. It's like me being a silent investor in the asset. They own a portion of the equity of the property.
That shit sounds crazy. I ain't gonna hold you up. Nick, I am not gonna hold you up.
No, listen. Look, that's not a product that we do, but we just had somebody inquire about that. And I think this one company, they moved 17,000 units in the last 3 years doing this product.
That's crazy.
17,000 units. I mean, again, crazy is within context, right? Because for you and I, it does sound crazy. But if you're somebody, like you mentioned, who doesn't have cash flow, you're about to possibly lose that property. Your property taxes have gone up. You can't keep making that payment. You got to get some reprieve. And so if it's the only solution, it could make sense. But I don't do the product, but 17,000 units have been pushed, have actually been sold. And so whoever is doing the product, they need it. So let's call it a need-based product. It's a need-based product that you and I probably would not recommend people do, but there's a market for it. I mean, 17,000 units, that probably means they've probably done $8 to $10 billion worth of production. They push the products.
Yo, you know what's so crazy? What's so ill about this business is that literally what I've learned in 23 years, and I like how you said it's needs-based, right? Yeah. There's always somebody coming out with something that is quote-unquote needs-based, and does it really benefit the person who is actually taking it out? Yes and no. Both arguments can be made on both sides of the fence, right? Me personally, this shit sounds crazy. I'm not giving you, first of all, you're going to give me, I might as well go see, it's like, yo, I feel like this is a legal way of basically going to a loan shark, right? Like, I might as well, I can go talk to Tony Soprano on them and probably get better terms. like this is really sounding like some Sopranos gangster type ish right here, this home equity agreement.
That's right.
Like, it's needs based, as you said, right? There's something for everybody out there.
And it's also coastal too, because you normally see it in high rich equity markets and households that have low cash flow. So California, New York, those two coasts. I mean, matter of fact, I believe most of the products come from those two markets, a lion's share of that business. And so, again, if we were to talk to a client, I'll tell a client that product won't make sense. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them why potentially. But if we can't help, Matt, if you and I can help that customer and they're on the verge between losing the asset or finding a solution, that's a gap-based product. Like I said, in the gap for that particular family. So, but again, those first loan is rate and term refi. Third is a line of credit, a HELOC. Then a distant third is that product, but it is growing for sure.
Yeah, yeah. See, that home equity agreement, that home equity agreement program, the way it was just broken down to me is just, again, needs-based, but it just sounds like, yo, if you can't afford the house, you just can't afford the house. And I think, look, I want to say this, right? This needs to be said.
Talk to us, Matt. Talk to us.
This really needs to be said. If you can't afford your house, if you can't afford the escrow, keep going up, right? Taxes going up, insurance is going up. It's just getting more expensive to maintain the house. And if you have equity in your home, instead of me personally saying you take out a home equity agreement, you put yourself in a position to where you're giving up 10% of your equity, future equity, plus you got that interest payment that's being deferred. At some point, you're just kicking the can down the road, in my opinion. Because if you get $100,000 today, depends on how you manage money. And 9 times out of 10, you probably don't manage money pretty good. You're probably going to blow that $100,000. And then you're going to be back in the same place where you left off. So me personally, I think if you have equity in your home and you can walk away with some money in your pocket, especially if it's under 250, it's tax-free. Go rent, go save, go pay off all your debt, right? And restart and rebuild. It's okay to rent, in my opinion. It's A-okay. Home ownership, you're not married to home ownership for the long term. I hate when I see programs like this come. And over the 20 plus years, I mean, you've seen it, Nick. I've seen these programs come, then they go, then they come back with different names, different little sprinkle on them, different guidelines, etc. But these things don't last, right? People are just kicking the can down the road and their foreclosure is waiting to happen because they're trying to hold on to this dream of ownership, which I get is very sentimental for a lot of people. But guys, we got to sustain home ownership. And if you can't sustain it, it is okay to fucking walk away and get your money. Like, it's okay. You made money. Walk away before you lose it all. My opinion there. What's your opinion on that?
Matt, first off, that was a mic drop. Okay. Now hit me out for a second, brother. This is critical. I love what you just said. I tell entrepreneurs this all the time. Maybe a bigger picture is I'll ask every entrepreneur who I talk to, what are you selling? If you are Rolex, you don't sell watches, you sell status. If you are Supreme, you don't sell clothing, you sell scarcity. If you're Apple, you don't sell phones, you sell simplicity and style. Mm-hmm. Nation of homeowners, Matt, mm-hmm. we don't sell mortgages, we sell trust. Mm. And that is rich. If you are not concerned so much about the outcome, but about the person who's behind the outcome, that's how you win in this business or in any business. I told you that I was president of a company at Legacy Home Loans. True story. One of the reasons why I left my company to then build my own company from the ground up was it's March of 2023. It's about 2 years ago. My daughter just turned 16. We had a client, Matt, in Philadelphia, in Philly. She worked at Shake Shack. She just came off of having her kid and she's going back to work, using a part-time income and a full-time income. And my LO is trying to qualify this person, trying to use both incomes to qualify for this property. She could not afford to own that home. Okay? Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Her debt-to-income ratio, Max, if you go FHA, right, you're at 55% on your max DTI. But if you're paying 30% taxes, that means that your net is an 85% back end.
Correct.
Right? 85%. So, and as a lender, there's 20,000 mortgage lenders in this country. So there's 200,000 licensed LOs, Matt, in America, and everyone does it the same way. Not the way you described it. They look at that person's gross pay, They look at their mortgage potential and their non-mortgage debt and say, you're pre-approved, go buy that property. But that person in that example was at an 85% back-end ratio on her net. We don't qualify net, Matt. We qualify on gross.
Mm-hmm.
Before that woman has to pay for her kids' tuition,
mm-hmm.
put food on the table, or put any money in savings, she'll live off of her credit cards to buy groceries. That's bullshit, man.
Agreed.
That is. And the entire industry has built a model, a risk-based model, because we know that if you, like you mentioned, Matt, if you own a property, the default rate across America is less than 2%. The worst it's ever been. You go back to 2008 during the recession, 8% was our default rate in America. And it almost drove us to a Great Depression, which means 92% of Americans who own a home, they still found a way to maintain that property. That home is where your family is, where your memories are, where your life ends and it begins usually. But that model is broken, man, because nobody thinks about that customer after the transaction. We'll take a picture. I'll bring the champagne. I'll give you an actual key branded, tell you that we helped you buy the property. And afterwards, I forgot about you, which is why. And Matt Solomon, actually, if you had that slide, pull up slide A. Matt, can I pull up a slide?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, that slide. Matt, look at this recent survey. Did it pull up?
Let
me see if it pulls up.
I see. It's like an article, right?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. We see it.
Okay. Matt, last year, brother, 73% of owners have had regrets.
Matter of fact, Nick, do me a favor. If you can... Text me that link real quick. Let me bring it up on my side.
Okay. Yes. Take it off and then just
put it in the chat that we are on the backstage real quick.
Okay.
In the private chat. That,
if we can't.
Yeah, because I definitely would love because I see where you're going with this, bro.
Yeah. I'll see if Solomon can, but if not, I want to break up the actual flow. Difficult. Okay, you know what, Matt? Let's come back to it, Matt.
All right, just put it back on the screen then.
Yeah, I apologize. The context where I'm going with this, brother, is to your point, how you just broke down telling people the truth. People don't trust us. People don't trust real estate professionals anymore. Matt, give you another quick study on this. 80% of people who use a lender when they buy a property, When it's time for them to buy a new property and go for more financing, 80% chance they're going to go somewhere else. When an agent sells you that property and it's time for you to now list that property, 60%, Matt, work with somebody else. You can take it back to Matthew. Let me see, Matt, if that's okay. The point is, brother, trust has eroded. We have become so freaking transactional. We forgot that Matthew has a family. Now, for that transaction, he has to still be able to sustain that asset. And if all we do is stop at the door, then you put people in a bankrupt model. And that's the problem, brother. And our company has built a national vision to create trust back into lending. That's what we're doing. Because I promise you, Matthew, brother, no matter what you do in business, the reason why people go out of business is very simple. They cannot get the lifetime value of that customer to be more than the cost to acquire that customer. The cost to acquisition, you and I, we're always in the lead-based business.
Mm-hmm.
We're always creating content to try to drive new business.
Mm-hmm.
But the real value comes in that referral who you trust. That Raven fan becomes affordable. I mean, I've done the models on this already. We built a company, even when I was in production, Matt, we built a company on $100 million in production with three new LOs, newbies, in a local market based on trust. It was a trust-based network. I wasn't really even on social, Matt, like that. Most of the business came from repeat clients, agents, and refer partners who trusted that name. We're so quick to try to show that we got success. That's just done with, bro. We're going to build a real business. We're going to provide advice and trust back into lending. And so to your point about that product, yeah, that product is shit. It's true. But the reality is that 17,000 people thought otherwise. So there's a need for somebody somewhere. But if we can do that and create a national attention around that vision, people will buy that kind of mission if they know that you care. That's who we are. That's what we do at our company. And so I couldn't agree with you 100%.
Certified gym dropper Nick is in the building, y'all. Drop some gems in the fucking comments for my guy, Nick.
Let's go.
Look, hold on, y'all. Hold up, man. Drop some gems in the comment for my brother, Nick.
Thank you, my brother.
You up.
I'm inspired, Matt, based on what you said. It's true. And it's also refreshing, brother, to talk to another professional who puts the needs of his clients in front of his own. But I say this all the time, and this is our last piece. One of my mentors, a long time ago, I might have been 29, maybe 2013, and he said, Nick, if you want to have a great month, do a transaction. If you want to build a great career, do trust.
Mm.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Hey, you get me warmed up, man. I'm getting warmed up, baby. So we built a business. We built a career. We built a vision, Matt, on trust. You know what I'm saying? So from LA to California now to America, it's a movement.
Hold on. Repeat that line again, bro. Repeat it one more time.
What did I say? He said, if you want to have a great month, do a transaction. If you want to have a great career, do trust. Trust is the linchpin to every business in America. And the truth is, brother, now with social media, you don't know who's fake and who's real. You have no clue. Matt, it costs you $5,000 maybe to put up less than that, to put up a camera, a screen, good quality. You can go to chat to give you the script. You can put it on. Mm-hmm. You can read off the script, and you sound like, for somebody who's a novice, you sound like you legit.
Facts.
And you're not.
Facts.
And so the reality is, if we can have the right conviction, the right purpose, the right plan, and the right execution, plus the capital, we can build a great movement. And that's what we do. And I believe that right now in my life, my purpose, I'm designed to do this for this moment.
In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cyber criminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
Mm. So look, $100 million, three new loan officers in the business. Let's transition this conversation a little bit, because I would be doing myself a tremendous disservice if I didn't get more information, because I have a lot of real estate professionals. If you're a realtor MLO, type it in chat, please. I have a lot of them that watch me every time I come live and on a replay. So to build a $100 million business in 2026, Nick, is my question for you. What are three things that you're going to do to build that $100 million business, whether you're a real estate sales agent or a mortgage loan officer? What are three of the key steps that you're doing to build from the ground up $100 million in business?
Love that. So first, write down your numbers. Write down your, what's your numbers? If I want to do $100 million in production and I do 2.5%, let's say, per transaction, that means that's a $2.5 million business. $100 million in production is $2.5 million bucks in revenue. Okay. How much do I make per transaction? So if you're in Philly, Matt, if you're in Jersey, if you're in Atlanta, if you're in LA, different loan amounts, right? So different money made per transaction. If I'm in LA, average loan size is $800,000, right? If I'm making 2 points, that's $16,000. So 2.5 million divided by 16, let's say that's 125 units. That's the number. Now, what's my capture rate? Okay. So if my fundings are the result of 10% of my credit pools, that means I need to get in front of 1,200 leads. If that's, I'm just giving you a ballpark, right? You got to know the numbers. Okay. Now you break that number down into, let's say, 5 days a week. So divided by 260, that's Monday through Friday for the whole entire year. That means you probably have to generate about four leads a week, right? 260 times four. So the goal really, Matt, is one a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the math off the rip. So I'm making $2.5 million bucks. I need to get in front of one real qualified person every single day to achieve that annual objective. My numbers, number one. Number two, what is the plan? Who am I going to talk to achieve my numbers, right? So am I going to be on social media? Am I going to go and be a part of a trade organization? Am I going to host virtual workshops? Am I going to do a bunch of meet and greets with agents? What is the plan around it? So one, my numbers. Two, my plan. Three, the execution. Number three. Okay, great. So for me, every Sunday, I recap my numbers, right? Because the game is not won in years. It's won in days. The game is won in days, brother, not years. And so for me, Matt, if you and I are partners, if the goal was to get to 2.5 million, 100 million bucks in annual revenue, or I'm sorry, in production, the only thing that we're talking about is that did we achieve our 4 to 5 leads per week? That's it. And we're doing it every single week, which means you and I have to have discipline. Because if we miss that 1 week, next week it becomes 8. If we miss 3, now it becomes 12. You miss a month, now it's 16. Now the numbers change. And so if, like, you know, for with our team, it's always, what's the numbers? What's the plan? What's the performance? How do we make sure we stay accountable to that on a weekly basis? So if you do those things, you can put the ball in your favor to hit your objectives.
So know your numbers, number one. Average loan amount, how many deals you need to close. $100 million in business is, what's that, $8.3 million a month.
That's right.
So, okay, so your average deal, divide that by the $8.3 million a month. That tells you how many you got to close. Then you reverse engineer that. That tells you, okay, if I pull 10% on credits, then I need X, Y, and Z amount of leads. So if I need to close 10 deals a month, then I need 100 leads per month. Just examples here.
That's right. Yep.
Right. So knowing your numbers, reverse engineering your numbers to what that $100 million look like.
That's right.
Fair enough, y'all. Fair enough. But most important thing you said is now the execution.
Critical.
Right.
That's everything, brother. 100%.
Because you could have your plan. And that's why I skipped over that. Right. Because the plan could be anything. It's, you could podcast all day. You could do open houses, you can do cold calls to realtors, you can door knock, you can cold call too, you can put out content all day. Doesn't matter. If you don't execute at a very high level on any of these three things, on any of those two, if you don't execute, then it doesn't matter.
100%. 100%, brother.
It's hogwash.
100%. And by the way, just for context, because I just had this pep talk with a team, with one of my teams on Friday. I say, you know what the truth is, Matt? Most people, Matt, they're full of you know what. They say they really want it. They don't really want it. They say they want to win, but they got losing habits. They say they want to win, but they around a losing mentality. They got a losing network. They around losers. They used to losing. It's easy for you and me to tell me what you want to do. Show me. You're going to tell me by your deeds, not your words. That's critical. And so, you know, when we built this team, we went from one location to 27 on that model. Don't tell me, show me. Let me see your numbers. Numbers first, story second. And so I can give you, Matt, the best plan. I can give you the whole blueprint. I can give you the sales Bible. You read it step by step. It won't matter. You won't do it because you don't really want it like that. And so most people will, they'll give you, Matt, I've had the best salespeople. They make me believe that they're going to be this phenomenal, you know, person. Mm-hmm. And Matt, they don't really want it like that.
Yeah. They're not hungry.
They're not really hungry, and it shows up. Most people, but it's difficult. I get it. Which is why I will say the next thing is you got to have mentorship. You got to have somebody with you who's going to really grind you for the right purpose. So like me, people would tell you, I'm not easy to work with or work for. I want you to win. And the truth is that anybody who comes on my team, before they come on the team, I want to know your why. Why are we doing this? What do you want from this? People say, well, I got me a daughter because, you know, I grew up and nobody really had nothing like that in life. That's going to be me rewrite my family story. They got a big meaning, Matt. If I know that, mm-hmm. when I write that bad boy down, when you don't show up, I'm going to show you back your goals. I'm going to say, nah, Matt, you told me this is what you wanted, big dog. Look at this. On April 17th, you said this. Was that cap or did you really mean that? And I think that's what gets people. Most people, they just need somebody to push them with love, right? And if you know that somebody really wants you to win like that, then you're going to go to war with them and for them. We built a company on that ethos within 5 years. And so, yeah, that whole plan makes sense. All that's cool. But if you don't really want it, if you're not allowing somebody to coach you up and grow you up, you're never going to get there.
So, Nick, what's your biggest indicator to determine people who are really, truly hungry versus people who are all bark with no bite?
Anybody who comes to our team, the first 90 days is a prove it session. So I'm going to give you a bar. I got somebody on my team now where we actually map out, say, for 90 days, if you really want this, it's really about how your habits are changing. So one of my guys, one of his goals, he has to work out at the same time. It's about discipline and habits. Because, Matt, it's hard to tell somebody, it's hard to separate somebody from who they really are to who they show you who they are. You can't get that in one day, in one week. And so I think if you are a big company, a great company, you got to have like a 90-day plan for anybody to graduate from that period. I need you for 90 days because you're going to show me who you really are. So 90 days, anybody who comes on board, before we even go into coming to the company, I give them this 2-page document where they have to tell me what they want out of their life. They all map it out. And I ask them, how do I know if it's real or not? How would I know that? What will you show me? So for example, Matt, if you were in sales, I'm saying, okay, 90 days from now, Monday through Friday, I need you prospecting from 10 to 1 o'clock, let's just say, 15 mm-hmm. hours a week. Because you really want it, right? You don't have no production right now. So all you got is time. So 3 hours, 5 days a week. So you can map it out. So that's 15 hours, you know, a week. You times that by 12, 180 hours. If somebody shows me they can do that, all I want to know is that, are you disciplined? Matt, truth is, brother, you are probably, when it comes to how you speak, how you think, how you market, you're probably 10 times better than me, let's just say. You probably are, because you're great at what you do. You're a legend at this. Legend. I love what you do. I love what you're about. It's incredible.
Appreciate that.
For most people, though, my gift is my discipline. It's my hunger. It's my drive. If most people, if we get on a treadmill together, Matt, mm-hmm. This is a Will Smith quote. If you and I get on a treadmill together, you're going to beat me in 9 categories, except one. I'm not going to get off first. That's it. I'm going to go longer. I'm going to fail more. I'm going to win more because I want to win. So I'm going to go and fight harder. So anybody who comes on our team, people, they tend to show themselves within 3 months. That's what we do. Because bro, like, you're never gonna know, Matt, right? Like, you're never gonna know. Somebody gonna tell you they got the best story. They're gonna tell you that their mom, you know, her whole life struggled. Her whole life, she's like, I owe it to my mother to go win. Really? Man, I love that. My mom struggled. I had a single mother, 18 years old when she had me. My brother and I, he just passed away, Matt. 39 years old, my brother passed away. Drive-by shooting 20 years ago, he was shot 5 times. My brother. Yeah. 20 years, Matt, quadriplegic. I saw my mom struggle.
Damn.
But if my discipline doesn't carry forth propel my purpose, I'm full of it. That's most people, man. They full of it. And so you can't really do it in one day. You got to give people time to show up, and it will separate the real from the fake. But if you can do that, man, you can build a company of generals, people who are lions, who really want to go after it. And you just, that's what we did. We built a company. We went to go find the dogs, the people who were great at production, who can still take coaching, who wanted to understand the mortgage business. Mm-hmm. We gave them the tools to succeed. Happened in 4 years. But that would not have happened if I didn't have some way to flesh out people who really wanted it and those who just said that they wanted it. I think that's the key, bro.
0 to 100 real quick, huh?
Easy. 3 months. That's all you need.
3 months. That's 3 months to lay down your foundation. You know, that's an acronym I like to use now. You know, we know DSCR, right? Because we do loans.
Yep.
But I like my twist on DSCR is discipline, system, consistency, results, right? DSCR, discipline, system, consistency, results. If you have that, you're going to get the results. You got that discipline, the systems, and you're consistent with it, you're going to get the results that you want in life, man. So that was some great information, man. We had a lot of salespeople in the comments, man, loving that $100 million, that road to $100 million pathway, because it really only takes those three things. And once you have those three things, you can kind of fill in the bullet points of everything, of every, you know what I'm saying, header, and then just go out there and crush it, man. Let's talk about, we're coming up on 50 minutes, man. This shit going by faster than I thought it was, bro. we almost at an hour, bro.
That's what's up. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, everybody type DSCR in chat.
I love it, Matt. That's a bar, Matt. Matt, by the way, I'm gonna use that one, and I'm gonna just quote my brother Matt.
Please do. Type it in chat, y'all. Discipline, system, consistency, results. DSCR, man. You gotta use that, man. So look, we're coming up on an hour. We got a couple more minutes left. Look in chat. If y'all getting a lot of gems from my guy Nick Goucher, man, make sure you guys go follow Nick on all platforms. Just search Nick Goucher on Instagram, Nation of Homeowners. Let's talk about Nation of Homeowners, because you talked about you built with Super OG Ben,
yes,
the Legacy Home Loans. And we had you guys on Earn Your Leisure about 2 years ago, too, when you had that great program.
Right.
See, guys, I don't gatekeep. I hear good programs. Nick is in the same business as me. I tell you guys all the time, it's not about me if I do a loan for you or not. That's fine. That's dandy if you want to work with me. But for me, it's about collaborating with like-minded folks. And when I bring people on this platform, I really bring them in for a resource for you guys to have, because most of you probably never even seen Nick before, right? But he's one of the dopest dudes out there. He might not have hundreds and thousands of followers, man, but what he speaks about, if you really tap in, I mean, this dude is a gem to the industry. So I want to talk about Nation of Homeowners. Like, you left the business temporarily, took a step back, published like 101 books, and then now came out with Nation of Homeowners. Let's talk about that whole thing. Why did you take the step back, and what made you get into publishing books, but then also now Nation of Homeowners? What's that all about?
I love that. And if I can, let me just double click on what you said, because I think it was so important, Matt, about how you don't gatekeep. So we're in the same space, right? This is critical. One thing that Ben taught me was to make a lot of money, you don't just need me, you need we. That's Ben. And so too many times we tend to live in a silo, trying to get it on our own and kind of, but that doesn't work to make real money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could have a nice car. But to have real wealth, you got to have a team of people who are building with you. It has to be people who are at the equal playing field as you were better. And so for you, when you do this, Matt, you're inviting opportunities for collaboration that can mean that in the future, you and I can collaborate and build something incredible.
Facts.
But you got to be able to have people who grow with you, which is incredible. So I love that. So for me, there are many reasons. I won't go into all of it, but I'll tell you one. business has to always be right. Right? No, that's perhaps number one. Is it still me?
You're good. Okay, you're good.
So I would tell you that with legacy, maybe the biggest thing, and I actually have a book coming out about this, is Matt, after that customer who I told you about back in Philly, back in March, my daughter turned 16, I told you, so I ended up leaving the company about a month later. It's in the book that's coming out. So after that client, lady out of Philly, buying that first property, this LO was a 25-year person in the business. So they had a lot of knowledge. And I can tell that they thought they were doing right by the customer, but that mindset was across my entire company and pushing people to the finish line, even though they were ready for it or not. And so every time as a president, when a loan comes to you in underwriting, you have to assess the risk of default. Okay. The whole business is about loans and loss mitigation. That's it. Bringing business in and making sure they don't default. Those two things matter. And so I would sit in these meetings, Matt, once a week, and the number of people that will try to push these products out to our customers at a local level, I still have my underwriters. I said, I'll tell you what, before we make a decision, look at that person's bank statements and do a cash flow analysis. And tell me what's their real DTI when you factor in their entire life. Because as a lender, Matt, we don't see how much you, again, pay for your kids' childcare, if they're in private school or not. We have no clue. So we're only making a decision on half of the picture, which is incredible to me, because if you and I, Matt, were financial advisors, and if you want to transfer $50,000 from a traditional 401k to a Roth IRA, you sit down with that advisor and they're going to give you a full assessment, and you trust them to guide you in the direction. People come to us for a $500,000 decision. It's just a transaction. And they're off on their own after the loan closes. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. And so when I was with my company, we did that. And I saw, Matt, this is what I saw. We saw 55% of our clients, we ended up doing a survey. They didn't do a budget before they bought the property. Mm-hmm. They didn't pin to pad their budget. Okay, that's number one, which means most people go on a hope and prayer it's going to all work out. Okay, number two, because this is all in a survey. Number two, we saw most of them did not have money for all the money put aside for the furnishing, for the move-in, the light renovation, and the unexpectancy of if you lose your job, put aside. You put them into a no money down loan program, which is fine. But they don't have the capital to sustain that asset, they're at default risk, which is critical. We then said, okay, how much of you can still save money for retirement after you buy the property, Matt? Today, 46% of Americans have no money in retirement, Matt. 46%, okay? Most of them have no life insurance, they have no estate plan. But they buy for what, Matt? Legacy play. Right, you talk to your clients, they say, because I got a kid, legacy, mm-hmm. I think about them. Our company was Legacy Home Loans. So the question was, are we really fulfilling the vision of our company's mission? And the answer was no. So I went to the board at the time and said, we got to transform how lending is done. That's the real mission. That's the blue ocean. There's a book on this by Dr. Con Kim, she's a Stanford graduate, wrote a book called The Blue Ocean Strategy. Every entrepreneur should read that book. That book is incredible. And I was looking for our blue ocean. And I didn't have all the buy-in from the team. And again, it was not my company. Even though, man, I was a president. Remember, I came in under somebody else's vision. Mm-hmm. Respect. But after a while, I realized we had two conflicts of visions. So it was best for me to let the founder of the company still fulfill his vision. Unfortunately, about 6 months after I left, the company began to dissolve. And now no longer is around at this point. But that's the reason, that was like the primary reason that I decided I need to go somewhere else. So I took a pause, family, my wife and I, we got four kids. Matt married 15 years, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of growth also has a price at home sometimes.
Absolutely.
So I had to reconcile that price as well. And I read so many books, and so I wanted to publish. So I ended up writing one book called 44 Keys to Building Wealth Through Real Estate. It was a knock of President Obama, 44th president. And so I ended up hiring a publisher to get that book published. And I wasn't happy with the end result. And so I still had a credit for the publisher. I said, tell you what, why don't you teach me the whole business about publishing? The whole business. It was like, I had like a $4,000 credit. So it was $200 hour session. So I had about 20 sessions and they taught me the whole business. And so we decided to build a publishing company. And now we have, so that's another business. I have another company who actually runs it. My president is named Toby. He's out in Canada. We have editors, writers. So it's my business, but my whole, another people, they set up people that actually run it. And we now have 27 books under our umbrella and growing. And so that was a great, I had a good time doing that. But all that time was trying to figure out my purpose in the business.
Mm-hmm.
How was I going to pull off this idea at scale? That was a question. All I want is I want to achieve monumental impact and scale. I'm not a local guy. I'm a national guy. And so I had to think about that play and talk to people about it. And most people was like, man, disruption is not easy. It takes somebody who is committed, who can baptize people into almost like a evangelist into a movement. Mm. You got to really buy into it. You got to have people who really see the vision, and you have to understand how you're going to get there, to get people to buy into a new concept. And so the last, 9 months has been thinking through how to do it. And now we got to play. So here we go.
Nation of homeowners.
That's right.
Building out the congregation.
That's it, baby.
I love that, man. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, brother.
What's the name of the publishing company?
Oh, it's called Gouche Publishing House, GPH.
Gouche
Publishing House. And so we're on a mission in that company to transform the industry. Big picture, most people publish their book. So can I give it to you quickly, quick context?
Yeah, go ahead.
So in 2008, Matt, there were 200,000 books published in that year, 210,000, somewhere in that ballpark. Last year, 2.7 million. So the number of books published has 10x'd in less than 20 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because KDP and Ingram, they kind of democratized the process. So anybody can really write a book and, get it up on Amazon. But if you put the book on Amazon, by and large, Amazon takes about half of the revenue.
Definitely.
Book, right? So right, or more. So you sell the book for 20, you get 10, it costs you 7, to get the book printed, possibly if it's a hard copy or a paperback. It's a low margin business. The number of books that are sold is about 100 to 200 books sold per author, because most people, they self-publish and they can't market their own books by and large. And they also don't have access to world-class talent. And so our design team, our editors are from Simon & Schuster, from Penguin. I got a brother from LA Times, these are our editors who do a line edit, ghostwrite the whole entire thing. Our book designers are in Brazil, in the actual UK. So we got a world-class team who we bring into new authors so they can tell a world-class story. And so we believe that we can, I think a story, brother, even having kids, they love stories. Mm-hmm. Human beings, we love a great story. If we can bring world-class production to an author, their world-class story can meet a world-class audience. And that's our objective with GPH. So 17 total. I don't focus on that business right now because there's a bigger vision for that. Mm-hmm. But it's really about financial literacy, mortgage banking, disruption. But the other company exists, and we have a good time doing that too.
So look, I will tell you, speaking from experience, as someone who is a best-selling author of two books,
right?
Shameless plug.
Let's go.
Right? So I will say, right, that I can, I 100% agree with you when it comes to Amazon. Amazon is needs-based, right? It's great for the entrepreneur, especially if you are the author who wants to have low overhead. You want to have pretty much hands off. You just want to focus on the marketing and not the distribution, right? Amazon might be the one for you, but the margin they take is like 55, 60%. It's almost like a 60-40 split once it's all said and done. And they hold your money for like 3 months that first time around, right? So I'm telling you guys, when I first, my first book, House Hack, House Hackonomics, How to House Hack Your Way to Wealth, right? I put this out, I think, July of 2022, bro. Mm. And we sold, and these books will go for $29, right? We had them on Amazon. I think I probably sold like 1,500 books in like the first month. And I'm like, this is very good, right? So, and this was definitely July, because InvestFest was August. And I was like, wait a minute, where's my money? Like, I sold all these books. And I'm like, where the hell is my money at? I don't see no payments coming through. Like, I'm so used to, like, if I sell something, I get paid right away.
Right.
So with Amazon, they hold your money, especially when you're a new account with them. I didn't get paid from Amazon until I think October for that first July month. But then ever since then, like every 21st of the month, even to this day, I don't even promote my books no more, especially on Amazon. And people still buy my books off of Amazon. I'm saying all this to say is that I started my own bookstore. Literally leading up to InvestFest summer 22 that year, because I say, you know what? I don't like a 60-40 split. I want my money and I want to be able to control the distribution of everything. But most importantly, when I looked in Amazon in my backend account, what I did not see was my customer data.
Man, that's the biggest part, Matt.
That's the biggest, the huge thing. I said, where the fuck are my customers? Who's buying from me? I don't know who's buying. I mean, I've seen people were buying 5 books at a time, 10 books at a time, because the only way I'm seeing that is because they tagged me on their stories. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know who my customer is. So not only do they take 60% of your revenue, they got all the customer data. So you don't even know who's purchasing from you. And I said, no, that's not the way I want to go.
My book
on Amazon is not the same color. It's a white color. So I created a new cover for just if you purchased it through my store. So that way it's separate, it differentiated which book where you got it from. Right. And I've been selling my own book. Like, yo, bro, I got my print machine right here. I got my Shopify. I got I get book sales. I print the joints out. I drop them off at the mail, right? But that's when the profit comes in,
100%. Right?
Because now I went from a 60-40 split up until around out the door, I'm probably at 75% profit out the door. This is including printing, shipping labels, the black packaging. I sell them for $30. If I'm spending $8, you know what I mean? Whatever that number, y'all do the math in the comments. I'm spending about $8 all in on a $29 book, right?
That's incredible.
You're making around $21 a book. Now, obviously, if you sell one book, it's not making no money. You got to sell a lot of books.
That's right.
But ultimately, I say all this to say is that you gotta, your intellectual property is extremely important. And this is why I brought up the book thing, because for you to put out that many books in a short period of time and I don't know if you guys caught the golden nugget that he said. You said you had a credit of 4,000. Instead of doing another book, you said, I want to use this as mentorship, as That's coaching.
Right. That's right.
Teach me how to fish.
That's right.
Right. If you teach me how to fish, I could fish for a lifetime 100%. Versus you doing another book for me that can pay me one time. But with that intellectual property, that's priceless. That's priceless. So that mentorship that you paid for just now, you got all the shortcuts and now you have a viable business to where if you want to help others, you can help others and now employ others to do something that you're passionate about, but now you're delegating. So now you're giving more jobs, more opportunities for not for people just work for you, but other potential authors coming in the game. So I'm saying all this to say, being an entrepreneur is one of the fucking flyest things that any of us can do. Like how many people you can go out there and help. But also I want you guys to listen to this too, right? Because this is what's even more important. And this is especially for my realtors and my loan officers and anybody in financial services that's listening to me. Anybody, period, if you got a W-2 income, because I'm W-2, right? I'm pretty sure Nick is W-2 as well because of the banker, being a banker, right? Just because you are W-2 does not mean you cannot have multiple businesses and run them all at the same time. You can run so many different businesses with AI, with technology, with everything that we got going on. Please do not just rely on commission income. Commission income is great, but we all have intellectual property, right? We can now put that what's in here onto something like this, and we can help more people than we will ever help. If I would have kept all the information to myself over the last 7 or 8 years, you guys wouldn't even be watching this right now. Many of you probably wouldn't even purchase real estate. Right. And if you did, you probably would have purchased it completely the wrong way. So I want to encourage everybody. You have a voice. You're in this business for a reason. This is part of your purpose. This is a part of your plan. Start using the technology, whether it's video, whether it's audio with podcasting, whether it's putting something from pen to paper and pinning something. Put it out there, man, because you never know who you're going to help. That's my TED Talk.
That's a fact. That's a bar. Those are bars and bars and bars.
Yeah, man.
This is
multiple streams of income. You know?
That's right.
And you live in it, brother. You live in it. So like
we are living it.
We are living it. That's a fact. So Nick, any final words? I kept you on here longer than an hour. We're coming up on an hour and 10 minutes now. It's been an amazing conversation so far. Any final words? How can people follow you? Tap in. You're based in California. If any of my people out here who want to do some, whether you're a realtor, you want to work with Nick and his team.
And growing. California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. So we're putting up so three other states. But I'll just say one, I got to give you, brother, your flowers. Forget the business, but just as a man, a father, you're solid, high character, high integrity, and success follows people like you. And so I want to say thank you, brother, for doing what you do for our community, for the nation, because your play is beyond one group. It's for the whole country. You can help all people. Mm-hmm. And I've seen your growth, man. So I'm so proud of you, and I want to keep building with you for sure. For those individuals, could find me on Nick Gouche anywhere across social. I focus over the last few years not on building a brand online, but to understand the business and banking. And so I was kind of in a corporate setting for a long time. So I'm just now starting to build content now on social. So I appreciate the platform. Three, I do have an outro, like a rallying cry. Can I say it really quick?
Yeah, go ahead, right. Son.
Cool? Quick. So here's to the believers, the ones who still believe in owning a home, not just for walls and a roof, but the American dream, alive and within reach. Here's to the ones who don't buy the lie that we're too different, too divided, too far gone. You know there's a way forward, and you know we've been here before. Nation of Homeowners is not just another slogan. It's a solution to inequality, to instability, to division. And you're invited to join an epic movement. Welcome to the Wealthy Homeowner Revolution. Let's go.
My God, Nick, with the outro. I love that.
Let's go.
Look, man, make sure y'all tap in with my brother Nick Gouche on all platforms. Nick, man, I appreciate you coming on the show today, brother.
Thank you, brother.
All right, y'all. Look, tap in with my brother Nick, man. One of the most brilliant minds in mortgage banking. Don't ever get it twisted, man. Holla at Nick, Nation of Homeowners today. Make sure you guys also go download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets. Shout out to everybody watching us live on Instagram. We have well over 150 people combined on both platforms today. So I appreciate y'all very, very much. Shout out to everybody on IG. If this is your first time here on YouTube, tap first time. If you came late, the replay of this will be on YouTube. So you can go to the live tab on YouTube and watch it. It'll be uploaded right away. And also download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets. Download. There's a lot of great episodes that you guys have been missing if you haven't been downloading the show. All right. That's all I got for y'all right now. Monday, December 8th, I might be back on here tonight. MG After Dark. Y'all already know the vibes. This was great information. Tap in with my brother Nick. I'm going to see y'all soon. Peace.
In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cyber criminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.